Vision Sunday, and just for those who weren't here on Vision Sunday, we pretty much introduced our focus for this year, and the focus is Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, that is our theme for this year. As I said last week, our vision doesn't change, it never does. If you go onto Web's website, you'll see our seven vision statements. Our vision doesn't change, but each year we, Sharon and I, as well as all the other lead pastors of Dream Builders Churches, we seek the Lord. What is the Lord saying to us for 2023? We did that last year in October in Melbourne, didn't we, with all the other lead pastors. And we felt strongly this year was going to be a year where the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on himself, if that makes sense. I don't know if that came out right, but the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on Come Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to be looking at and doing throughout 2023. I think it's going to be an exciting year. Now, you may have heard that phrase before, Come Holy Spirit. I know when I first became a Christian, got saved in a Baptist church back in the early 90s, and there was a chorus, I think, we used to sing, Come Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me, and fill me with your power, satisfy my need. I won't sing it for you. Yeah, what's that? I won't sing it for you. You know, you may have heard that song. You may have heard songs, you know, on the theme of Come Holy Spirit. You may have even heard people pray those prayers. But, you know, for thousands of years, Christians have been inviting the Holy Spirit to come, to move, and to manifest God's presence amongst them and to minister through them with power in this world. Come Holy Spirit is a prayer that has been prayed since ancient times in many variations and ways, as a welcoming prayer that sits at the beating heart of the empowered church of Jesus Christ. In the 1200s, the prayer Come Holy Spirit, or in Latin, Veni Sancte Spiritus. I learned a little bit of Latin when I was a greenkeeper because, you know, all the plants had Latin names, but I'm not really well versed in Latin, just letting you know. That was like 30 years ago. Veni Sancte Spiritus, which took on fresh life and became a common prayer in the Western Church. And this historic prayer begins with the powerful words, Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. So from ancient times, you know, the church was birthed the day of Pentecost, so we're talking over 2,000 years ago. Right throughout that 2,000 years, the church has been praying, Come Holy Spirit. You know, even from the Reformation in the 1500s, I think it was about 1500s, Protestant Church, Orthodox Church, the Anglican Church, Presbyterian Church, the Catholic Church, there have been seasons where they've all prayed, Come Holy Spirit. Now, that phrase, as I said, is going to be our focus for this year. And just for those who weren't here last week, I think we've got 4 points, those four goals we want to achieve this year. Just to refresh your memory for those who were here last week and for those who weren't. So we want to get to know the person, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's a goal we want to try to achieve this year and beyond. To grow in our understanding of what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. To know how the Holy Spirit has shaped us and gifted us. So, you know, we're getting Steve McCracken in on the 4th and the 5th of March. And Steve's going to actually run a session on developing your prophetic gifts. So we want those. We know there's prophetic people here in this house. And so we want to see that gift start to shine and start to be pulled out and activated in your life. And so this is a great opportunity. If you feel that you have a prophetic gift, you know, Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 14, I wish you all would prophesy. So we could all do that, but some actually are gifted in that prophetic. So please, if you feel you're gifted in the prophetic, you don't want to miss on Saturday, I think it's the 4th of March, 1 p.m. Because that's our heart. Our heart here is to know how the Holy Spirit has shaped us. What's your God shape? What has he gifted you with? And he's gifted you with gifts, maybe some singular, maybe some plural. He's gifted you with gifts, but it's important that we understand what those gifts are so that we can use them. As we heard last week, Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, God has gifted us so that we can use our gifts so the body can grow, those around us can grow. So We want to know the Holy Spirit, how he has shaped us and how he has gifted us, and using those gifts to see the body of Christ grow and to fulfill our mission, which is to build lives and transform communities in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't transform lives in our... Oh, thank you.
What happened?
All right. The red light's on again, though. That means I've got limited time. Someone's trying to shut me down here. What's that? The clock's ticking. So we can't fulfill our mission to build lives, transform communities in our own power. It has to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. So this year, you know, we want to be, our aim is to hopefully achieve those goals. If we don't achieve those goals, you know, we'll be going into next year with them anyway, but we want to use connect groups, we want to use worship time here on a Sunday morning, connect groups, guest speakers coming in. Is that me? Yeah. Hello? You there? Anyway, so we want to get guest speakers in this year to help activate, you know, those gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. So, you know, connect groups as well. It's a great opportunity to jump into a connect group where we're going to get into a position to know the person of the Holy Spirit, to know his power, to know his presence. You know, one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament was the Apostle Paul. And I love what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 2. And he says this, "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive words, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit." Paul was a very plain preacher. How's that, eh? Wrote most of the New Testament. But he didn't use clever or persuasive words. He relied heavily on the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest missionaries you'll read about in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. The Message Bible says, "Nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else, but the message came through anyway. It was God's Spirit and it was God's power that did it." So that's going to be a real key goal for us this year, is not only know the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit, but to know his power. Paul understood and had a revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit that was working in his life. And my heart is, as a church, that we would get to understand and experience the power of the Holy Spirit working in and working through us. So it's a good segue to what I want to share this morning. We're going to actually look at who is the Holy Spirit. I think that's really a good place to start when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. Because when I became a Christian back in the early 90s, I had no idea who the Holy Spirit was. I don't know how many times I referred to the Holy Spirit as an "it" when I first became a Christian. Like, it just seemed mysterious to me. And it was only probably after about 12, 18 months that I got to get a limited foundation of who the Holy Spirit is. So, a quick little test. So can everyone just close their eyes just for a moment? And I want you to picture a football. Right, what do you see? A football. So keep your eyes closed. I want you to picture God the Father. Right, who do you see when you picture God the Father? People would see a loving, caring Father. Some may see a person who sits on a throne. Maybe looks a bit angry. Maybe looks a bit distant. Think about Jesus. Who do you picture when you picture Jesus Christ? And many of us have seen pictures of Jesus, you know, hung on walls and in books and things like that. And we get a picture, many pictures I've seen of Jesus have been like a European Jesus. You know, olive skin and the nice flowing locks, the beard, maybe wearing a white robe. I want you now to picture the Holy Spirit. What do you see? Many people say, "I see a dove, I see fire, I see wind." And this is the, I suppose, the problem. You can open your eyes now. The problem I have when I picture the Holy Spirit, the problem, and I think many people have, is that when we picture God the Father, We picture a father, or we picture a person. We picture Jesus as a person, and we can relate to people. We can have a relationship with a person, with people. Does that make sense? But when we picture the Holy Spirit, and you picture fire, or you picture a dove, it's hard, in a sense, to try and reconcile, how can I have a relationship with fire? Or how can I have a relationship with wind? Or how can I have a relationship with water? In a sense, it's not really personal, if that makes sense. Does anyone have a relationship with wind? That didn't come out right. Sorry. Oops. Wrong attribute of the Holy Spirit. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we can have a personal relationship, and we have had, whether it's a good or bad one, with a father or with a brother or with a son type of thing. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit's really mystical in a sense. It's like, well, he's fire, he's wind, he's water, he's oil. Like, how do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And, you know, I remember back again when I was a young Christian, went to a prayer meeting. Ever been to a prayer meeting when, and I'm sorry if this is you, I don't want to offend you, but ever been to a prayer meeting when people are praying in King James language? Sorry, growing up as a newborn Christian in the early 90s and someone's praying, thank you thee, thou Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. I kind of think, the Holy Ghost? Like, who's the Holy Ghost? What's the Holy Ghost? Like, where I came from, ghosts weren't holy, nor were they good. Like, it's just like, what is that? You know, I remember I had a friend who was living in a house, and he told me it was haunted with ghosts. But he wanted me to stay with him because he was too scared to sleep there by himself. Yeah, thank you for that. But he told me ghosts are scared of dogs. And I had this dog, I had this Kelpie, that came with me everywhere. And I believed him. So I went and stayed in that house that night with my dog. My dog stayed right by my side. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. And that just kind of reaffirmed that ghosts don't like dogs. But I don't even think that's true. I don't think that's true. But where I came from, ghosts weren't holy. They weren't good. They lived in houses to scare people. So, well, except, yeah, but it's like, so who is the Holy Spirit? And then when I read through the book of Acts, just reading through the book of Acts, you know, and there's this heavy reliance on the Holy Spirit. It's like the apostles and the disciples in the early church, they had this relationship with the Holy Spirit. They were aware of the Holy Spirit. They were dependent on the Holy Spirit. And it's probably something that I don't really see too much in the Western world, or too much, even in the church here in Australia. There's probably pockets where that happens, but you don't see a lot. But I just want to give you a couple of examples, how reliant and how dependent and how aware the early church was on the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I got these scriptures up on the wall, but it just says in Acts 5, it says, we are his witnesses to these things and also to the Holy Spirit. So there's this awareness of the Holy Spirit actively involved in their lives. Acts chapter 7, I think it's Stephen who says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me to go to them and not worry, they were Gentiles, in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 15, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. Next, Paul and Silas travelled through the area of, I don't know how to say that, Phrygia, is that, and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of God will not let them, or not allow them. And I love what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. I don't know what awaits me except the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. When I look at those examples, and they're just a couple of examples. The book of Acts is littered with this stuff. It is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is bobbing up everywhere. You know, when I was at Bible college, I did an exhaustive, it was a whole term study on the book of Acts. And one of the things that came, I think, became quite evident to me, and even though the book of Acts is, if you look in your Bible, it could be termed the Acts of the Apostles. Probably a more technical term or more right term would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit working in and through the disciples, working in and through the apostles. You see the Holy Spirit bob up everywhere, and the Holy Spirit, well, the church seemed to have this awareness of the Holy Spirit. They had this relationship with the Holy Spirit, connection with the Holy Spirit, dependence on the Holy Spirit. And I just look at my own life, and I've got to ask the question, am I fully aware and dependent on the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples were and the early church were in the book of Acts? Am I living a life in a way where I experience an intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? If the early church relied so heavily on the Holy Spirit, then who is he? Who is he? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter. This is part 1 too, by the way. To answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit, you can't do that in 20 minutes or 30 minutes. But we might continue on this next week. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Right there, very first book, very first chapter, second verse. We get to see, the Holy Spirit is revealed to us. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, right? He is God. He's called the third person of the Trinity. But when you actually read Genesis chapter 1, he's the first person of the Trinity that's revealed. In the beginning, God created. That word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. Can you say Elohim? Elohim. Elohim is a masculine noun in plural form. It's masculine, yet it's in plural form. So we're getting a picture here at the very beginning, in the very first verse of the Bible, that God created, but there's God's in plural form here. And we get an idea here, the Trinity working together, creating the heavens and the earth. Go down to verse 26. Then God, Elohim, it's that name again. Elohim said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. There it is again. The Trinity working together, using first person plural pronouns. Is that right, Patrick? I heard Patrick's the English teacher at the school. It's all right, got the thumbs up. Awesome. Those words, us, our, first person plural, Trinity working together. Let us make mankind in our image. Let us make mankind to be like us. So right throughout the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit working in tandem with the other persons of the Godhead, empowering people to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. He anoints, he appoints. He shows up as fire by night and a cloud by day. He brings Ezekiel's valley of dry bones back to life. When we go to the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's been poured out into our hearts, into the hearts of those who believe. This is incredible. This is incredible. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit fell on certain people for a purpose, power for a purpose, prophets, priests, kings. They were anointed for a purpose. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, on all those who believe, but not just poured out into our hearts. So understand this. If you're a born again believer, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're surrendering your life to him as Lord and as Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in here. Amen. Think about it. Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was there at creation, working with the Father and the Son, creating the universe, bringing it all into being. He lives in here. The creator of the universe lives in here, if you're a born-again believer. Isn't that cool? The power that lives in here is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power that lives in here gives you the power to live a changed and transformed life. It doesn't just happen by itself. The Holy Spirit who comes in here gives us the power to transform our lives, that we can be more like Jesus. That's a good thing. He gives us power. The power that lives in here is enough power to break us free from those things that hold us in bondage, whether it be habitual sin. I can't break free of this sin, but you've got this power living inside of you, the power that created the universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It is enough power in there to set you free from habitual sin, enough power in there to set you free, you know, from things like unforgiveness and bitterness and stuff like that. It's enough power in here to transform our lives so that we can become more like Christ. How cool is that? Damien's happy about that. I find that is unbelievable. We have the Almighty God living inside of us. There's no distance between us and God. And as we'll find out this year, the very one who lives inside of us, he is called a teacher. The Holy Spirit, he is called a teacher. How cool is this? When we open the Word of God, when we want to understand what the Word of God is saying, we have a teacher in here who can teach us all things. He knows the deep things of God. He can bring revelation. Oh, I'm excited about this. We have a comforter. Come on, we've got a comforter in here. When we go through trials and tribulations, it's like we need some comforting. Just like when a little kid hurts, a little boy or girl hurts themselves and they go running to mum for a cuddle. We have the Holy Spirit in here who gives us comfort. He gives us peace. Oh man, I don't want to preach because we're going to be doing this later on. So you've got to keep coming back to church. But isn't that exciting? Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, but he's so much more to us in 2023 when we're going through stuff. He is there and he can meet every need that we have. I think that's awesome. Billy Graham says, there is not a person anywhere who can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. There is not a person who can follow Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sees everything that goes on. He knows what goes on in our hearts. He knows what goes on in our minds. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is hidden from him because he is God. So how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives? I won't hold you up too much longer. Firstly, he convicts us of sin. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of our sin. John 16 verse 8. It says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Imagine the disciples hearing that. They've been with Jesus. They've seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen Jesus raise the dead. They believe Jesus is the Messiah. He's going to reign on David's throne. And yet Jesus says these words to the disciples, it is to your advantage that I leave. That would have freaked them out. That's, for me, that's a what are you talking about Willis moment for all those who grew up in the 80s. For if I do not go away, the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, that is the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the one who stands by us, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. You know, we can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about that in Corinthians, that we can have fellowship, connection, deep connection with the Holy Spirit. And he, when he comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior and about righteousness and about judgment. You know, you ever sat in church? I think we've all done this, sat in church, and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You feel really convicted. Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation. He brings conviction. And the purpose behind conviction is he sees something wrong, something's not right, and he wants you to make an adjustment. And that word repentance, we feel conviction, then we go through the process of repentance. And all repentance is changing the way you think, changing direction. The path you're walking down, Holy Spirit brings conviction. Don't walk down that path. Choose a better path, the path that God has laid. So we change direction. We change the way we think. Holy Spirit brings encouragement and things like that as well, but he always comes to bring conviction. Even before I was a Christian, the Holy Spirit came and brought me conviction. Conviction of sin, conviction of guilt, conviction that I needed a saviour, conviction that I needed saving. He's always working to bring people that are walking a certain pathway. If it's not the best path, not the right path, he wants to help us get onto the path that God has for us, the right path, the right way. Even before I was a Christian, and even before you were Christians, the same thing happened. The Holy Spirit came to bring conviction of our sin, of our need to be right with God, of our need for a saviour. Holy Spirit also comes to bring us new life. He gives us new life. Job 33 verse 4 says, "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Psalm 104 says, "When you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." And John 3 verse 5, it says, Jesus answered, I think it's Nicodemus? Yep, thanks. Miss Sophia, thank you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Now, we all fall short. We all fall short. The Bible's quite clear on this. We all fall short of God's standard. We all fall short of God's glory. Now, the Bible talks about the heart being the most evil and wicked and deceitful of all things. You know, who can understand it? Jesus said even out of the heart flows, you know, thought or murder and adultery and slander. You know, the heart is evil. It needs saving. It needs to be born again. So the Holy Spirit comes, brings conviction, but then the Holy Spirit comes and fills our hearts and gives us new life. Because prior to coming to Jesus and prior to accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're dead to the things of God. We fall short of God's standard. We fall short of God's glory. We need saving. So what Jesus did on the cross, he died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. But when he rose again and ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts to give us new life. Does that make sense? He comes to give life. John 20 verse 22. Jesus breathed on the disciples. This is the day of his resurrection. He breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 for a moment. I love the parallel here and the connection here, and I don't think it's by accident. "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostril, and the man became a living person." John's sentence construction is nearly exactly the same as that sentence construction in Genesis 2 verse 7 in the Greek Bible or the Greek Old Testament. It's practically the same. When God breathed into Adam, he became a living person. When Jesus breathed into the disciples, they were living, But they started to enter into a life that they'd never experienced before. Jesus has come to give us life. The Holy Spirit comes to give us life. It is a life that is nothing compared to the life in the natural, if that makes sense. It's a new way, a new life. And it gives us eternal life. And lastly, the Holy Spirit gives us power for a purpose, for mission. But just before I go to mission, he gives us power to live, power to be a mum, power to be a dad, power to be a brother, a sister, power to do what we're called to do, our vocation. He gives us power to achieve the things and do the things that we need to do during the week. But he also gives us power for purpose, and that purpose is for mission. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, it was for the purpose of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we see that right from Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came, was poured out onto the church, the believers in Jerusalem. Then we get to Acts chapter 28, the last book in the book of Acts. We've got Paul in Rome. He's preaching the gospel. And Rome was pretty much known as the outer parts of the empire back then, or the world, from Jerusalem anyway. So we see this progression from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Paul is preaching the gospel in Rome. We've been given the Holy Spirit for power, and that power is for purpose. It's the purpose of mission. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to be saved, including everyone here in Circular Head. And we have a mission that he's given to us, but he's also given us the power to fulfill that mission. Wouldn't it be the worst thing if someone gave you, you know, a Range Rover, like a brand spanking new Range Rover, and you get in it, it's a free gift, you jump in it, but it's got no motor in it. What kind of friend is that? What kind of gift is that? They give you this brand spanking new, could even be a Ferrari. Oh, that would be cool. But it's got no motor in it. Well, the purpose of a Ferrari is to floor it, you know, and drive it flat out. How can you drive it flat out if there's no motor in it? There's a purpose behind having a Ferrari. My birthday's coming up soon, Sharon. And not just a little box car. But there's a purpose. The purpose for us is about taking the gospel, sharing the gospel with those who have never heard it. Even if those have heard it, we need to continue to share the gospel with our community. But he's given us the power to do that, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's get the band to come up. You know, last week we anointed people for the very purpose for 2023, just for power for mission. And if you weren't here last week, I'd love to be able to anoint you for 2023 as well. Power for purpose. The purpose is mission. The purpose is to take the gospel message to our community. You know, we do great things overseas, awesome things overseas, and I know we're doing some good things here in our community. But, you know, let's not waste the time and the moment that God has given us. We're only here for a short time. You know, our lives are like steam coming up from a cup of coffee. It's 1 minute it's there, next minute it's gone. We're here for such a short time, but let's really make our time here worthwhile and leave a legacy or leave an imprint of our time here on the earth. And so we want to see all Circular Head saved. Yeah? We want to see all Smithton saved. We want to see, whether it be churches, whether it be home groups, whatever, we want to see them all filled, people giving glory to God. We want to see a move of God, revival, just sweep across our community. But, you know, for revival to happen, you know, God needs people to actually step out of the boat and to deliver the good news, to speak the message to those in our community who need to hear it. So if you weren't here last week, I'd love just to anoint you and pray you as an act of God setting you apart for purpose, and that purpose is for mission, for sharing the gospel. with those in our community. But, you know, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, this is a really good opportunity right now. I've got every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. I said earlier, I think it was Billy Graham who said that you can't follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christ follower without the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you've never made that commitment or you've never made that confession of faith, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. We all fall short. We all fall short of God's requirement. We all are in need of saving. Thank you for what Jesus did at Calvary. I know I say this a lot, I'm going to say it again, but Paul says in Romans, those who confess that Jesus is Lord out of their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. And there's something really important about a confession. If you've not confessed that Jesus is Lord out of your mouth, I want to encourage you to do it today. To do it today. You might be feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now, just like all those years ago before I became a Christian. Holy Spirit, God came into my room and at night and freaked me right out. But there was a conviction that the Holy Spirit was working in my heart that I knew that I had to repent and I had to surrender my life to Jesus. So if you've not done that before, if you've not made that confession of faith, not gone through that process of repentance, repenting of your sin and surrendering your life to Jesus, I want to put up your hand right now and I'd love to pray with you this morning. When we give our lives to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. The power of creation, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, comes to live inside of us. Comes to give us new life. It gives us power to walk in that new life. I'm not going to labour it. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Well, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you've not left us as orphans. We thank you that and praise you for what Jesus did at the cross, but we give you thanks and praise that you sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. The Holy Spirit who gives us life. The Holy Spirit who gives us power. The Holy Spirit who brings conviction into our lives when we're straying and know that we need to get back on track. We thank you that you care so much for us, Lord. That you would always want to pull us back into line. We thank you for the life that you've given us. We thank you for the power that you've given us to fulfill what you've called us to do. We thank you for the gifts that you poured into our lives. Lord, I just pray right now your blessing and your favor would be on every person here this morning. I pray for a revelation of who is it that really resides in them. The Holy Spirit. He is God, the creator of all things. And I pray, Lord, that this revelation would just bring change to our lives. That as we walk out, we would walk out confident, knowing that you are with us, that we would be confident when we speak before others, when we share our faith before others, there would be a confidence and there would be a boldness that you are with us, that you're the one that's doing the talking, that you're the one that's controlling that whole conversation. And I pray, Lord, for miracles to happen. When we have these divine appointments, Lord, that miracles will take place. Salvations would occur, Lord. Even, Lord, that we'd have the boldness and the confidence to lay our hands on the sick and knowing that they would recover. We see that right throughout the book of Acts. And I pray, Lord, for the confidence and the boldness, Lord, that we would walk taller as we leave this place, knowing that you're with us, that you've never left us nor forsaken us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you weren't anointed here last week,